This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we're moving on to something that really began earlier this week, has taken new life over the course of the week. And here we are. The Prime Minister's office has responded to the Yang Di Pertuan Agong statement on the emergency ordinances. And to put it simply, they have very, very different views.
This came out late last evening, I think close to 8. And so the Prime Minister's office released a statement that was, like you just said, responding to the Palace's statement earlier in the day, the one that was read in Parliament by the opposition leader. And essentially, the PM just defended his decision not to annul the emergency ordinances through a vote in Parliament. In the letter, he said the PMO said that a letter had been sent to the Agong before Parliament reconvened, conveying Cabinet's advice to the King to end the ordinances, and that in accordance with Article 40 of the Federal Constitution, the Agong has to act according to the Cabinet's advice, and therefore, in the government's view, all actions were in line with the law and the Federal Constitution. The letter also calls for calm among the rakyat and said that the issue will be resolved according to the law. And I think that just to say upfront that this is highly unusual. I think I'm underplaying it even to say that. But we spoke yesterday, actually, about the Agong statement to begin with, and even that was unusual. So to have the response now, I think, is just kind of compounding the very open back and forth going on.
So just to recap very quickly what the Agong statement did say. So the Palace said yesterday that de facto Law Minister Datuk Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan's announcement on Monday about the cancellation of all emergency ordinances was inaccurate and that it had misled MPs. It also said that the revocation didn't take into account the sovereignty of laws and sidelined the function and powers of the Agong as enshrined in the Federal Constitution. He also said that he was very disappointed that all this had happened. So it's an interesting one because we are also essentially waiting for the state of emergency to end. That's happening day after tomorrow. So this ping-ponging between these questions of authority, questions of who really is saying what might happen next, has gotten a lot of people talking about what happens next, who decides what happens next. And that's what we're going to be discussing now. Let us know, what do you make of all of this? What do you make of these deferring statements that have come out from both the Palace as well as the Prime Minister's office? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So yesterday we did speak with lawyer Andrew Koo about the Agong statement. So today Andrew is joining us to examine the response from the Prime Minister's office and really discuss what this might mean. So Andrew is with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, good evening again.
So we did speak yesterday about the Palace's statement, but now, of course, we have the PM's office statement as well. To start off with, could you help us break down the claims that are being made by the PMO in response to the Agong?
Yes, I could do that, but perhaps your readers might also want, sorry, not readers, listeners might also want to know that there has now been circulating on social media a letter purportedly from His Majesty the Yang Di Pertuan Agong to the Prime Minister as well. So this appears to come after the Prime Minister's letter of yesterday. And in some ways, you read the content, it's again responding to and to a certain extent rebutting some of the things that even the Prime Minister said in his response. So this is, you know, you talk about ping pong. This is certainly a ping pong because now there's this third communication that we need to look at as well.
So you mentioned in our chat yesterday, as we look at the repercussions, right, that a revocation of the emergency really can only be issued in the Agong's name. Could you clarify with us then, if we go back to the PMO statement, does this have any impact on making the annulment effective, or are we at status quo in essence?
I'm not sure what you mean by status quo, but I mean, the fact remains until today that as far as we know, there has been no gazetting of the revocation of the emergency ordinances. I think that much seems clear, although the facts seem to be changing, on a day-by-day basis. But as far as we know, there has been no gazetting of that instrument of revocation. So we have to take it from then that there has been no effective revocation of the emergency ordinances. There may be an intention to revoke. There may have been a cabinet decision to revoke. There may even have been advice of some sort of or another from the cabinet to His Majesty that there is this decision on the part of the cabinet to revoke the emergency ordinances. But so far as we know, there's no instrument or document signed by the young Dipertuan Agong to basically state that the emergency ordinances have been revoked.
So essentially what we are seeing now are a refuting of that claim, an explanation of that. Essentially, what can the Agong do? How can he respond to this? What possible actions are within his authority?
Well, I mean, if I'm allowed to go into the letter that's been circulating, I mean, it would appear that, the young Dipertuan Agong said that the reason why he wasn't ready at that point in time to consent to the revocation was because he thought that there were certain issues that needed to be thought through and that perhaps there was insufficient time to do that. And so, while he wanted to do his constitutional duty, he felt that his constitutional duty was also perhaps to engage with the cabinet on the advice that had been tendered and to, come to perhaps an understanding of the nature of the advice, given the concerns that he had. And then maybe down the road, he might have consented. But, in a sense, this was taken out of his hands because, it was announced that it was already going to be revoked. So it was almost as though the government had taken for granted that His Majesty would consent. And of course, what the Prime Minister is saying is that, well, you have to act on advice under the Constitution. So it doesn't matter what you think. This is what we have decided. And that, in some ways, cannot be right because the idea of consent, the idea of advice, is not a mechanical one. It's not, we send you the letter, this is our advice, therefore you have to do all that we tell you to do. The idea of advice is a consultation. It's a discussion. It's an interaction. And I think what His Majesty is saying is that where was all that? You just sent me a note, a letter, basically saying this is the decision of cabinet. And then he refers to, and both parties refer to this virtual meeting that was held on the 24th on Saturday between His Majesty the King and the Minister in Charge of Law and the Attorney General. And here is where we have differing facts because, the Prime Minister says that, they explain things to you and His Majesty is saying, well, I said certain things to them to do and they didn't do that. So, there are some conflicts in terms of the facts that are being asserted. So I think, there is a problem in the sense that, the stories don't tally.
So there have been calls for the Agong to remove the PM before the emergency ends this weekend. What does the law say on this?
I've seen those calls as well, and I don't understand the legal or constitutional basis for it, I'm afraid. I don't think you'd want to give them much credence. Whether or not the young Dipertuan Agong can dismiss the Prime Minister, that has, to a certain extent, got nothing to do with the emergency itself. There is, the whole process of how the King decides to nominate someone to be prime minister, the prime minister, gets a vote of confidence from the Dewan Rakyat. And what if the Dewan Rakyat no longer, gives the prime minister support? Then can the Agong remove the prime minister? Those are the issues. But in a sense, it's separate from any issue about the emergency. I don't think there's any issue about, you know, he can only do so while the emergency is still in effect.
So in a situation like this, who will play the role of arbiter?
I think it would be the courts. And here I would think, I'd want to sort of, say that on the one hand, it's the court of public opinion. And I think that's what's happening right now. Things are being played out in public. And, you know, one side is trying to tell their story and then the other side comes out with a counter story. And so it's all being played out in the court of public opinion. And they are, may not be the final arbiter, but they're certainly an arbiter about who they want to believe and who they want to support, who they think is right. But ultimately, I suppose, if things do come to a crunch, then it would have to go to the courts, the law courts. And of course, there is a provision in Article 130 of the Federal Constitution where the Yang Dipertuan Agong may ask the federal court, the highest court in our country, to give an advisory opinion on a question that he would put before them. That's never been done before. I don't know whether it will come to that. But if you want to talk about final arbiter, I think that's at least one answer that I can give, that it will be the federal court based on a question that would be put to it by the Yang Dipertuan Agong.
So as things stand, where does this leave other parliamentarians, especially considering that this current sitting, should it happen on Monday, will end on Monday? What can they do, if at all?
Well, where Parliament is concerned, I think you are going to be stuck in a rut of things, repeating themselves, because we already know what the position of the Speaker is in terms of entertaining any motions, right? So the Leader of the Opposition, other MPs may want to propose an emergency motion to discuss certain things, to debate certain things or to vote. But we all know that the Speaker has repeatedly said that he is not in control of the agenda of Parliament. And that if there is going to be any motion to be discussed, that has to be agreed to by the government. And the government must then, give time for these things to happen. And so then the question goes back to the government. Is the government prepared to give time to have these things debated? And it's unlikely that the government will agree. So you are stalemated there, and I don't think Parliament can really resolve the issue.
Andrew, we just have about a minute left. What can we expect to happen with the supposed end date of the emergency coming this weekend?
Well, the emergency will come to an end. I think that no one's disputing that. And given the fact that the emergency ordinances have not officially been revoked, then by operation of law, if the emergency comes to an end, all the emergency ordinances also come to an end. But then you have the problem of Article 157, which says that basically the emergency ordinances will still continue to have effect for a period of 6 months after the end of the emergency.
Andrew, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. And just by the way, can I just wish His Majesty the King a very happy birthday, notwithstanding that, things are not going very happily for him at the moment.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew.
That was
lawyer Andrew Koo speaking to us about the differing views offered by the Prime Minister's office as well as the palace. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.